This is episode 2 of the Quest for Healing podcast series. This episode will focus on an effective process for healing trauma and PTSD. My name is Phil Golding. I am a self-awareness, meditation, mindfulness teacher, author, and podcaster. But most importantly, in regards to the Quest of Healing podcasts, I'm a psychotherapist with 25 years of experience as a therapist. Before embarking on extensive studies in depth psychology and transpersonal psychology and a career as a therapist, I journeyed through the experiences of healing my own mind from chronic depression and PTSD, which I consider as my most important path of learning. I began that journey 40 years ago and was free of depression by around the age of 30, and PTSD a few years after that. For the last 30 years or so, I have continued an open-ended path of healing and growing as a central part of my ongoing life. In my psychotherapy practice, I specialize in treating trauma, PTSD, depression, stress and anxiety, and many other related issues. I also teach advanced level self-awareness. Before you get into this podcast, if you haven't already done so, I would suggest that you first listen to the first episode of this series called You Have What It Takes to Heal, which is the introduction to this series. It is essential that you have some understanding of how to identify and activate your conscious awareness, which is your ability to compassionately observe your mind without getting pulled into it. This is essential when it comes to learning how to heal your mind. This will help you to understand and gain the most from this episode. This Quest for Healing episode will be focusing on healing trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder, which is abbreviated to PTSD. This episode contains a universal process that is useful for healing many types of emotional suffering, so use it as a template for further Quest for Healing episodes, as with the first introductory episode. We are dealing with human experiences that most people find baffling. You are not going to grasp what I am saying by listening to this podcast just once. These podcasts are designed to enable you to transform your life. That is no small thing. Furthermore, trauma and PTSD is a formidable challenge to face and work through. So this podcast works through this process step by step, hence the length of the podcast. To effect genuine permanent healing, you need to respect the process and ensure that you know what you are doing. Also, the process of working with traumatic memories works the same whether you are facing memories that are just days old or perhaps decades old, as can be the case with PTSD. Trauma and PTSD is very disruptive to our lives due to the intense fight-or-flight fear and painful emotional reactions that are triggered by sudden traumatic memory flashbacks. These flashbacks can be so frequent and intense that it can become very difficult to function normally due to the anxiety that it causes. Our lives can become oppressed by these traumatic memories that can be triggered at any time. Our minds become a scary place where we feel we have lost control. In this podcast, I will help you understand why your mind is reacting in that way and how you can go about healing these memories to where they are rendered experiences of life without the emotional charges attached to them. Furthermore, I will show you how you can gain the skills and confidence to be able to manage your memories and even take charge of them to the point of rewriting them, not to deny the original experience, but to be able to give your mind a whole new positive experience of being protected and cared for. To build a new set of memories of you caring for your mind that your mind can feel secure in. This process will also help you to gain the awareness of how to care for your mind now. As a result, you will become the empowered and loving guardian of your mind, your human self, able to protect it and look after it in the face of any circumstances you may encounter in your life ongoing. To begin with, it is very important to understand and to have faith that all trauma can be overcome, healed, and turned into a greater self-awareness and resilience. Considering the struggle so many of us have when it comes to overcoming trauma, this may seem a bold, even unrealistic statement. It is nevertheless true, but in order to achieve that healing and resultant self-awareness, you have to know what you are doing. You have to understand the nature of the mind and the natural potential that you have within your consciousness that you will use to overcome that trauma. You need to understand how to activate, initiate, and master this potential to a sufficient degree. Therefore, I am not talking about some quick fix here. I am talking about a process of growing self-awareness and personal growth. But I am also talking about a process that is accessible and doable, and one that can be negotiated through quite efficiently, again, if you approach it in the right way, which in general terms I've spoken extensively about in the Five Steps to Freedom podcast series, as well as my earlier Real Healing, Real Awakening podcast series. This is also something that you can keep building on so that you can increasingly master your mind and your life ongoing. In this podcast, I will be showing you how to apply this process specifically to trauma and PTSD. Because we don't understand our potential for conscious awareness and healing, we tend to lack faith that this deep level of healing is possible. Not just trauma sufferers, but professional therapists as well, which is unfortunate. Also, the understandable fear, confusion, and pain that our trauma triggers through our consciousness makes us want to get rid of it, want to have it fixed, to want to grasp at solutions, leading us to turn to medication, for example, only to find that we stay trapped in a dependency on that medication and a feeling of powerlessness over the trauma that is afflicting us. The underlying problem with grasping at a quick fix is that the approach to healing is driven by fear, which in many ways reinforces the problem. Don't get me wrong when I speak about medication in this way. I'm not saying no to medication. Studies have shown that when we are struggling to function in the heat of the initial crisis, medications such as the various antidepressants can be effective for taking the edge off repeated fight-or-flight triggering. This triggering that the trauma can cause can be overwhelming, even when we are sincerely trying to do our best to face the trauma and work through it. However, studies have also shown that helping with crisis-level destabilization is all the medication is good for. It will not heal you. At best, the triggers will settle down enough to allow you to get back to some level of normal life, but the danger of re-stimulation of the trauma will remain, and you won't learn the needed resilience and clarity that will enable you to heal that trauma and know how to manage similar circumstances in the future. Fortunately, even while taking these medications, we can still embark on our healing journey, so long as it doesn't impair functioning too much, which is a problem for antipsychotic medications. Also, if you keep on with your healing process, at some point, the medication will start to become redundant and even get in the way, because your own power of consciousness, having the ability to face, work through, and heal significant layers of that trauma, will mean that your body will be able to control its own chemical balance. In other words, through this process, you will outgrow the need for the antidepressant medication. My clients start realizing that when they take the medication at this stage of their healing, instead of calming them, the medication starts creating more problems than it solves, because the body simply does not need it anymore. The medication starts creating imbalance rather than aiding balance. So let's have a quick look at what regular psychotherapy is trying to achieve in order to have a therapeutic platform to build on. Every memory, every thought, belief, misbelief that is recorded in your memory system and your conditioning as a frequency that you experience in the form of feelings and emotions. You are living within this cacophony of mind frequencies 24/7, which influences and controls your consciousness, your perceptions, your ego, like ever-shifting weather patterns that can be triggered at any time by the circumstances and conditions in the present moment. Until you awaken your ego into conscious awareness by taking full ownership of your mind with unconditional self-acceptance, which is steps 1 and 2 of my 5-step therapeutic process, you may think that all this mind noise is who you are, but that is not the case. When you awaken your ego into conscious awareness with the power of unconditional self-acceptance, you can start to safely observe your mind directly through your emotions and feelings and discern destructive thoughts via the painful emotions these destructive thoughts cause, such as thinking you are unworthy because you don't satisfy some behavioral standard, or destructive global thinking such as assuming everyone hates you. When you identify such destructive thoughts, you can then choose to no longer identify with them. Instead, you can set about creating new structures and beliefs that produce new frequencies that resonate in tones of love and wisdom, guided by your practice of unconditional self-acceptance, which aligns you more with your real potential. From this new empowered perspective, you are able to better identify when your mind is out of tune, because you can feel how different your confused mind feels compared to your conscious awareness empowered by unconditional self-acceptance, which is yourself being the loving guardian of your own mind. You can then work towards transforming discordant, self-attacking, self-defeating thought structures into harmonious ones by focusing on and reinforcing positive, functional thought structures that better serve your well-being. These new thought structures and their positive emotional frequencies in turn alter your brain's synaptic pathways to create constructive habits and conditioning. This is the process of reconditioning or reprogramming your mind by changing the ways you think, by paying attention to how your mind creates its own suffering. The effectiveness of this process depends on how effectively you can grasp that self-acceptance must be unconditional, along with how fully you must take ownership of your mind, which determines how empowered your conscious awareness can become. Through a lack of personal experience, counselors and therapists often struggle to grasp how fundamental acceptance and responsibility is to deep healing. Using this foundation of fully owning your mind with unconditional self-acceptance, you can take this mind healing process to its depths and heal even the most intense levels of trauma. Before we delve into those deeper processes, let's have a look at some of the dynamics of trauma. When you face the traumatized mind, it is very much like traveling through a time tunnel where you find yourself reliving certain memories. Sometimes these old memories are vivid. Sometimes you only feel the intense emotions, particularly if the memory is before the age of 5 and or deeply buried in your unconscious mind. In a real way, you are returning within your memories to where you find your past child, adolescent, or adult self stuck in the difficult situation that created the confusion and emotional wounding. Here you are able to get in touch with how limited your awareness of how to care for your mind was at that time, which is why you are so vulnerable to that set of circumstances. This is not your fault. This is the human dilemma of being conditioned by the environment that you grew up in. PTSD in members of the Defence Forces is a prime example. Despite the extensive training, circumstances are still encountered that you don't know how to process. Childhood trauma can make you even more vulnerable to such difficult circumstances later in life. I have observed the way childhood trauma causes war veterans to be more susceptible to PTSD. You can be a victim of crime, leaving you to feel unsafe in the world. Your experience and understanding of the world was not prepared for such a violent attack that seemed so personal. You may have grown up in a violent household. You survived, but the way the years of abuse imprinted on your mind seems to influence and therefore and interfere with your life and your relationships, no matter how you try to leave it behind. You may have been subjected to prolonged domestic violence, falling into believing that you are somehow responsible for the neediness of your abusive partner. You can't take it anymore, but your misplaced guilt keeps pulling you back into the destructive dynamic. A powerful example of the complexity of trauma is childhood sexual abuse. As children, we are dependent on the adults around us, not only for care and protection, but also for our identity and worth. As children, we are naturally powerless and dependent. Our very survival depends on the adults who are caring for us, and so too does our growing sense of identity. Our young minds are orientated towards believing that adults must be right, that they must know what they are doing. Children are deeply conditioned to trust adults and to be compliant. Adults are in the position of power and authority. It is very easy for an adult to make a child feel responsible for the adult's emotional neediness and behavior. As the child, when we are used and abused by an adult for sex, on some level we know they are not doing the right thing, unless the whole community is engaged in the same types of abuse, such as growing up in a cult. But either way, we are afraid to say no. We don't think we have the right to say no. We are so vulnerable to manipulation and coercion. We are often manipulated to keep it a secret, thinking that we have to protect our family from the pain that they would feel if they found out. This is an extremely psychologically damaging burden for a child to carry. On another very deep level, as the child, we often conclude that there must be something very wrong or defective about us for an adult to treat us that way. Our self-worth and self-respect and our respect and trust for those around us becomes deeply damaged. As a result, we can start acting out suppressed emotional pain, anger, and self-loathing in the form of self-harm and rebelliousness or reckless behavior, particularly in our teenage years. It can change the whole course of our lives and leave us with complex layers of emotional pain, such as shame, as well as feelings of helplessness or hopelessness, and also deep boundary confusion, which can lead to destructive relationships. With your new awareness activated and cultivated by taking full ownership of your mind with unconditional self-acceptance, you are in a position to venture much deeper into your healing and growing process. You can learn to be the loving guardian for yourself that you needed back then when you experienced difficulty. However, clearly opening up to and staying present with old traumas can be difficult because we can be confronted by the memories of those who abused us and the circumstances we were trapped in, which triggers the same feelings of powerlessness and imminent danger. If we didn't have the right guidance and lack of understanding of the nature of our mind and the power of our conscious awareness, we can be traumatized all over again by those powerful memories. So understanding the mind and the ultimate power of your conscious awareness is essential. So let's have a deeper look into the mind and the power of awareness. When you are engaging in your mind with your awareness, you are working with your memory system and your conditioning, as well as your imagination, which are all closely interconnected. When you are looking into your mind, you are looking into your past. Even when you think about the future, you are constructing that imagined future out of what you have already experienced in the past, which is why it is common to get stuck in old behavior patterns. It is also very important to understand that the mind exists on a different level or dimension of consciousness to the body. Your physical body is obviously always in the here and now. In contrast, there is no real fixed time position in the mind. Each memory containing images, thought structures, and associated emotions is contained within the point in time it was originally created, although memories do tend to be fuzzy at times and blend into one another, forming associated collections of memory. When I say contained within the point in time, I meaning that the memory is constructed from what was happening then, as well as your level of maturity and awareness then. If you were a child then, when that memory is triggered, your now adult awareness will be flooded by the consciousness and fear and vulnerability of the child you were then, which can be very destabilizing. This time shift is very important to understand. It is quite easy to observe when the mind time shifts. When a powerful memory is triggered, you are literally pulled back in time. When someone triggers a fear-based emotional memory within us by being abusive towards us, for example, and we become locked in a heated argument with that person, we are no longer rational adults, but vulnerable, frightened children arguing with one another in adult bodies. We are being controlled by old conditioning that was all too often randomly created when we were children, which is not likely to be very rational and not suitable for the job of conducting our lives as adults. If the triggered memories are traumatic, this sudden shift of consciousness can be disorientating and frightening. It is like you literally become these memories and past mind states. In fact, it is normal for our minds to be not in the present moment much of the time, which confuses and disempowers us. You are constantly being pulled out of the moment and into this timeless tangled web of your memories, irrational conditioning, and fear-based imagination. And yet, the mind, with all its timeless qualities, can all be observed in the here and now from the higher perspective or dimension of your conscious awareness, your ability to observe yourself, because the body, mind, ego is always within conscious awareness now. This is also very important to understand. In other words, when you are looking into your past memories, you are looking into those memories now, with the growing awareness that you have now with which to observe those memories from. You, as the observing conscious awareness, are always located in the present moment. As conscious awareness, you can look into your mind as though it is a time tunnel, and you can do that without being so pulled into that time tunnel. This is another reason why the practice of meditation and mindfulness is so important. You are learning to differentiate yourself as awareness from the tangled confusion and emotional triggers of your mind, enabling you to negotiate your mind without getting submerged and lost in it. Therefore, like the body, conscious awareness is also always in the now, present moment. When you become emotionally triggered into a past trauma, with your growing awareness, you are learning that you are observing a memory, not the actual event that occurred in the past. It is like watching a powerfully engaging movie, but the whole time you are sitting on a seat in the movie theater. Therefore, it is vitally important to understand that all your memories are within the power of your own conscious awareness now. They all belong to you now. They do not belong to those who may have abused you. These are your memories contained within your consciousness. As conscious awareness, you have the power to engage with and take charge of all your memories, conditioning, and imagination. The abuses of your past or the frightening events that confront you in your memories are now totally within your power within those memories. In those memories and within your imagination, you can do whatever you like with them, even though the triggered memory activates fight-or-flight reactions in your body. Nothing physical is actually happening, even though your body and the more primal levels of your mind do not know that at first. You are watching a movie, but with this movie, with your conscious awareness, you can actually enter into it and take control of it, because it is your mind that is within your awareness, that is within your aware consciousness. By practicing and aligning your conscious awareness to the ultimate power of total unconditional self-acceptance and mindful breathing that you learn about and learn how to put into practice in my other podcasts, you can learn to steady your body's fight-or-flight reactions. Mindful breathing is deep, slow breathing while knowing you are the observer of your mind, body, and environment in the present moment. When triggered into fight or flight, the body goes into a restrictive state, causing you to breathe quickly and shallow. Mindful breathing is the opposite of this. Deep, slow breathing takes control of the body's autonomic fight-or-flight reaction, and being the self-accepting, compassionate observer means you are now able to more consciously open to the experience, rather than running from it in a state of fear and therefore giving it more power over you. Your body is now within the control of your awareness, rather than your fear-based, reactive mind. Also, by continuing to do your best to accept yourself totally, you as awareness are increasingly no longer identifying with thoughts that judge, attack, and limit you. You are learning to no longer give those thoughts power over you. With this mindful approach to yourself, you can learn to safely stay present with and watch your memories, your mind movie unfold, without being so dragged into it. You do this in a step-by-step way, allowing your awareness to get used to being the detached observer experiencing your traumatized mind while knowing that you are no longer in actual danger. Within these memories, you can see yourself as that powerless child, adolescent, or inexperienced adult from the safety of the present moment. You can still feel it, hear it, and see it, but your senses are now helping you understand the dynamics of the past circumstance and work with it all from your new empowered perspective, facilitated by mindful breathing and unconditional self-acceptance. Even if the situation within your memory is still baffling and frightening to you, you can nevertheless work toward gaining new, more empowering and constructive perspectives on it. This is the way to rise above any situation once you understand the power you are as conscious awareness. You can learn about how you became confused and continued to suffer. You can learn to see more clearly how you are made to feel responsible for the confusions of those around you, for example, or how you came to judge yourself because you didn't live up to some internalized standard that told you you weren't allowed to be a fallible human being, which we all are, or how you came to regard the world as a dangerous place because your assumptions about how you believed the world should be were shattered. In psychology, this process of staying present with reactive emotional energy in a managed step-by-step way is called desensitization. With a process such as desensitization, you are consciously developing or growing your awareness to where you can take charge of your mind with awareness. Your awareness is your dynamic ability to learn, adapt, and grow in the present moment. Awareness utilizes flexible short-term memory. When you go to school, for example, the teachers are teaching your awareness. It is up to you as awareness to then teach your mind, which operates on long-term to permanent memory. This is called study. We can therefore embed the information into long-term memory using repetition. It is you as awareness who is listening to this podcast, utilizing what you need from the mind to do this. Another way an event gets embedded into long-term memory is if it has a significant emotional impact on you, positive or negative. Hence the effect trauma has on the mind as well as love. This is how you are conditioned by your environment, including your family of origin while growing up. When we are children, from birth to 10 years old, we have little awareness of our own. We are indiscriminately soaking up our environment and being conditioned without even really knowing it. Your mind, controlled by long-term memory, including your conditioning, is not flexible. It is habit-bound, to the point of being largely unconscious, particularly if that information is not used very much or suppressed or just taken for granted as though it was always there. Also, this level of the mind is more geared to a fear-based primal level of survival and is more instinctual and at times reactive and at other times robotic. Awareness, with its higher perspective and flexibility, is therefore in the best position to manage the mind. Awareness is like the parent of the mind. Awareness is more associated with love and wisdom, with the heart being open. Ego can be regarded as your potential of awareness, but it gets limited because it is captured by your mind's blind, habit-bound conditioning, and therefore loses its ability to be the objective observer, and can be prone to reactivity and fear as a result. Ego is trying to manage your life, but is controlled by your unconscious conditioning, which works fine if that conditioning is positive, but not so good if it's fear-based and negative. In order to truly become the constructive manager of the mind, you must learn how to get above the mind and be the observer of the mind, the loving and wise parent of the mind, rather than be the mind, the more vulnerable level of your humanness, who is not equipped to effectively manage your life in the face of life's frequent challenges. In fact, the mind is just a storage bank with its own rudimentary management capacity. It is really meant to be the support person for awareness. It is not meant to be in charge of your life. When you first try to face and work with your mind, your awareness first may feel small and feeble in the face of a seemingly much larger and emotionally scary mind. However, it is very important to understand that awareness seems to have an unlimited capacity to grow, whereas the mind is limited to its programming and its survival instincts. The more you activate and operate from awareness, the stronger and more expansive awareness becomes. This is why it is so important to never, ever give up. No matter how many times your mind appears to temporarily defeat your efforts to heal it and master it, you as awareness will inevitably learn how to embrace your mind into yourself, where you become the one who is in charge of your life, while your mind becomes your support person, reprogrammed according to your real potential. Every step in this direction will make a positive difference to your life. So let's get on with the practical steps of overcoming trauma, starting with the process of desensitization. Using your present moment awareness, you can desensitize or dismantle the autonomic fight or flight reactions that are triggered by the traumatic memories. This ongoing fight or flight reaction clearly becomes a problem rather than something that is helpful, because the mind does not know how to switch the fear reaction off. The mind does not know the difference between its memory and the present moment reality. It doesn't know how to process the traumatic event. Desensitization is a process of getting used to being present with your mind's traumatic memories, to where you can disengage the fight or flight reaction and get on with the job of constructively managing and processing that memory. When I'm working with my clients who have suffered deep trauma, the first stage of the process of desensitization is getting steady with just observing the memory with an increasingly effective degree of emotional detachment. Here, the deep, slow, mindful breathing is very important for disengaging the fight-or-flight reaction. In addition, though, emotional processing through unconditional self-acceptance is done during this stage, which leads to clarity, insight, and deeper self-compassion. You are also learning how to accept and work with things in the world that you have no real control over, like the death of a loved one, the fear of your own death, or natural disasters, for example. Unconditional self-acceptance enables you to increasingly identify any self-defeating, self-attacking thoughts, negative self-talk in other words, while no longer believing these self-defeating thoughts due to your commitment to self-acceptance, therefore helping to neutralize their impact on you. These problematic thoughts are what keeps the negative reactions on a loop. Therefore, you start this desensitization process by learning about and practicing mindful breathing and total unconditional self-acceptance and acceptance in general. Then, while mindfully breathing and engaging in your best attempt at self-acceptance, you can start talking about the traumatic memory with an experienced listener, counselor, or therapist, or start writing the memory down in your journal, but only to take a few steps into that memory and then stop before you become too emotionally triggered. Recenter, if needed, into deep, slow breathing, and not so much on the memory, but now on how your mind is reacting to the memory. Ground yourself by paying attention to where you are now and in the present moment, knowing that you are safe. You are using the memory as a catalyst, that is, revealing the disempowering thought structures arising from the memory, remembering that it is not the event that is the ongoing cause of your suffering, but what your mind is thinking about that event and the meanings your mind places on that event that are undermining you. Is your mind getting lost in the memory, such as with a fear of dying, instead of being present in the here and now, where you are safe? Are your thoughts self-judging? Are they giving credence to abusive things people used to say to you? You may observe your mind imposing unrealistic standards on you, telling you that you don't have the right to make mistakes, to be human. Perhaps it is a memory of when you were a child being abused by a powerful adult. You may be feeling the fear and powerlessness you felt as that child. Here, breathing deeply and slowly is very important, and seeing that this memory is within your consciousness now, and that person cannot hurt you now, nor can this person further hurt the child you once were. Even though your more unconscious mind does not know this and reacts as though it is all happening again now, you as awareness can get used to seeing it otherwise, and in the process, disengaging the mind's fight-or-flight reaction while observing the memory and processing the memory with total self-acceptance. Your emotional pain is an indication that your mind is confused about your actual safety or your real worthiness, or it is not in the present moment, but is instead trying to control something that you actually have no control over. We take our mind so much for granted that we think we are our mind, but in reality, we are awareness centered in the present moment, with the power to learn, adapt, and evolve, unlike the mind, which gets stuck in its programs, its conditioning, until we program it with our new awareness. Therefore, with self-acceptance and compassion, you are giving yourself time to truly get to know your own mind and the ways that it causes itself to suffer due to the ways it has learned to react to circumstances and conditions that are represented in these traumatic memories. But don't expect to immediately know what to do with the emotionally triggered thoughts that you are observing. At first, it is to get used to observing how this particular thought causes this particular emotional reaction. However, you can go a little further by exploring different perspectives. For example, what if you chose a different thought about that piece of memory that you took a few steps into, a thought that is more accepting of yourself and self-validating? How does that new thought feel? Don't get too caught up with trying to process it all perfectly or expecting your emotions to suddenly lift. Layer by layer, change will happen while you are staying focused on your process without getting caught up in expectations. Just let yourself get used to looking into your mind a little and processing a little, and get used to knowing you are here now and not in the past. As awareness, you are learning to be the loving guardian you needed then. So you are doing two things here. Firstly, you are getting used to the fact that memories are purely mind energy, like a movie, and that you are in the here and now and in no physical danger. Secondly, you are learning to observe how the situation causes you to think thoughts that undermine your fundamental worth or disempower you in some other way, which cause fear and pain on an emotional level. You are learning to separate the experience of the event from the way your mind reacts to the event, because a different mindset or set of beliefs or conditioning, in other words, would mean that your mind would react differently to the same event. This explains why different people can react to or respond to the same traumatic event in very different ways, where some are traumatized and some are not, even though they are impacted in the same way. You are learning that you don't have to be controlled by the confusions in your mind or by the event, but instead be the one who is in control of the mind and therefore your experience of the event. You are learning that you can respond with constructive awareness to a situation rather than blindly react from conditioning that is not flexible and adaptable enough to cope with the event. So once you have done some useful processing of that piece of memory, you will feel more ready to step a bit further in and then repeat the process. You are pushing the edge of the trauma in a manageable step-by-step way. It will still feel uncomfortable, but you will feel more prepared. During this desensitizing process, you will come to realize that the memory is becoming a vehicle that is guiding you into the workings of your mind, where you are learning to be the accepting, compassionate, patient, and caring parent of your mind, helping your human self to work through his or her confusions, which you can identify because of the emotional pain that those confusions cause. You will be able to see and experience the emotional pain, but not as some fire-breathing dragon that is rampaging through your mind, but instead see it and experience it as your confused and vulnerable human self reaching out to your aware self for help. With this process, you come to increasingly see how the traumatic event is triggering your mind to think self-attacking, self-defeating thoughts that are the real cause of your emotional pain and fear now. With your ongoing practice of unconditional self-acceptance, it becomes increasingly easier to identify these unhelpful thoughts without identifying with them. You are therefore freeing yourself from the oppressive thoughts that are triggered by the traumatic event. You can see, hear, feel them, but increasingly no longer believe them. This also helps you to experience how your conscious awareness grasps the truth quicker than your conditioned mind, because you know it is the truth, because it feels right, independently from your conditioned unthinking habit-bound mind, which may still cling on to the old self-defeating thoughts. Once you make that shift with your awareness, with persistence, you can recondition your mind because as awareness, you become the new and most influential environment for your mind. You become your own wise and loving parent. What you will also be doing during this stage is getting used to feeling your emotions while being comfortable and confident enough to let them flow through you, through your open, aware heart, knowing that they won't sweep you away. You will increasingly experience these painful emotions as natural, normal emotional releases that may be what you felt at the time of the trauma, but possibly suppressed them because it was not safe to feel them, or you simply did not know how to accept them and process them at the time because they were overwhelming then. It is like you can now hold your own human self and comfort yourself while at the same time allowing the emotions to be appropriately released, like waves of energy, through your open heart. You will see and experience how these waves of emotional energy will peak, but then pass, because you are not adding fear to them, not exacerbating them with negative thoughts. You will experience that they are not never-ending tidal waves that your fight-or-flight mind feared they were. The only thing that made them dangerous was your mind believing that they were. You may find yourself crying, but know that it is important to allow yourself to do that, because now that self-judgment is removed, your tears are healing tears. Your emotions, feelings are doing what they are meant to do, to help your mind let go of tension and work through trauma, just like a child does in the arms of a loving and aware parent. You are providing a sanctuary for your human self to feel safe enough and vulnerable enough to let go into your own heart. You may still feel like your wounded self, but you are also experiencing the higher knowing that you are now becoming, that is now holding and mentoring your vulnerable self. This self-nurturing and empowering process then gives you the confidence to engage the memory further until you are able to work through the whole memory without becoming overwhelmed. You have now taken that memory into your awareness, where it no longer has any real power over you. Now you are in the position to go deeper with your healing process. Here you can become confident enough to get used to closing your eyes as you are reimagining the memory, as you are talking about it, or in between moments of journaling. Here you can start taking a more dynamic control of the memory. It's like you can now walk around in the memory as an independent awareness that has the power to start taking charge of that memory and not just observe it. Now you have the tools to work with and desensitize other memories. So let's get ready to start rewriting the memory, to take the healing process much deeper and apply it more broadly. This next level of the process is not so well known, perhaps because it goes beyond in some ways what we experience as conventional reality. In effect, you are engaging in a contemplation meditation process aided by your journal and any experienced therapist or mentor that you may find. usually only very experienced trauma therapists or transpersonal therapists, or people who have genuinely negotiated this deeper healing journey, truly understands the depths of this process, because you have to live it to truly come to know it, and therefore know the greater potential for healing and awakening that you have. In addition to being able to observe your memories, you can also recreate your memories. You can reimagine your memories in very powerful new ways. You can literally rewrite them. Why would you want to do this, you may ask? If you have suffered prolonged complex trauma, such as child abuse or domestic violence, for example, you are likely to still carry deeply embedded beliefs that disempower you and make it difficult to set boundaries and be appropriately assertive in your ongoing life. The prospect of having a meaningful and loving relationship may still seem out of reach. More importantly, your ability to truly love yourself may be hampered because of a lack of experience of being truly loved. How can you be that for yourself if you don't know what it looks like and feels like? This next level of healing is about healing your life, not just your memories. However, your memories are now a safe place where you can explore and get used to having the power to not only protect yourself, but to also love and nurture yourself, and your emotions and feelings will inform you when you are making that connection or not. This is another very important key to healing and self-empowerment. The basic process of desensitization does some memory rewriting, but you can go much further than standard psychology practices. Again, here it is important to have faith in yourself. Know that you have an amazingly deep capacity to love that is a natural part of your potential that you will awaken to and learn how to harness and manage so long as you don't ever give up, no matter how many times you fall over. As part of this healing process, what you are first doing is sufficiently neutralizing the fear that is triggered by this memory, so it no longer has power over you. Then you are able to look at the memory with increasing confidence and insight. This is the desensitization part of the process. Then this prepares you to be able to start taking charge of that memory and rewrite it as many times as you like in your imagination, while you explore what it feels like to protect yourself and care for yourself in that situation. What if you could step in as your own loving and wise guardian, your own parent, and take charge of that past reality? But it doesn't stop there. What if you gave your human mind the experience of those traumas not happening in the first place, where you have total control over your environment, who is in your life, and how your life unfolds? Understand that your human mind is, in many ways, living in its memories. You are going to help it live a whole different reality that you are now in charge of, a reality that you are also increasingly able to create in the now moment of your everyday life due to what you are learning from facing and processing your traumatic memories and then rewriting them. Here you are taking back your power or gaining power that is part of your potential that you are awakening to perhaps for the first time. Another very important thing to understand is that when you consciously enter that memory, you can be anything you want. Not only can you be your own loving guardian, you can also be your own superhero. You are limited only by your own imagination, which has no limits. Someone who I have been helping overcome intense, long-term complex PTSD learned to face her abusers within her traumatic memories as the Star Wars Mandalorian, with a whole troop of Mandalorians accompanying her. When we first started the desensitizing process, just looking at the memories was overwhelming. With further healing, she didn't need the Mandalorian troop to accompany her anymore. She had gained the power to do this on her own, and at one point, within her imagination, during a guided memory rewriting meditation, she spontaneously experienced herself becoming a goddess of love, sweeping away all negativity with the power of her love. Within this new memory that she was creating, flowers literally spontaneously grew from wherever she placed her feet. In her real life, she became increasingly stable and empowered. She gave up her substance addictions and has learned to genuinely love herself and feel that love. Her awakening natural talents and growing self-confidence gave her the confidence to find a new job and has since been promoted. This all took a few years, but now she has the tools to look after her own mind and knows how and where to reach out for help when she needs it. This is the power that you have as conscious awareness and the power that you have to take care of your own life. This ability to harness your imagination is what the mind is already unconsciously doing when it projects its fears, insecurities, and self-judgment onto the present moment, such as with depression, or into the future or the past, such as with worry and anxiety or regret and resentment. Now you can consciously harness those same natural abilities to undo your confusion and give your mind a whole new experience within the sanctuary of your own conscious awareness. With your ongoing commitment to accept yourself unconditionally, accepting that you have the right to be human, accepting your right to learn and grow in your own way, at your own pace, you can use the power of your imagination to engage with your mind to explore how to love yourself, how to care for yourself, and also explore who you are, what you like, who you would love to be. A first stage of taking charge of your memories is truly knowing that you have the right to protect yourself and to experience what it is like to do that. It is empowering to be able to protect your inner child human self from a past abuser, for example. Within these memories, you are therefore entering into a process of learning to face the abusers and put them in their place. At first, it is common to be confronted again with feelings of helplessness, but you are now able to observe with greater insight how powerless you were at the hands of your abuser back then, but not so much now. While you use the mindful breathing self-acceptance process to stay centered in your now empowered conscious awareness, you can enter step by step into this memory where you can explore doing what needs to be done to protect your vulnerable past self by talking about it and writing about different possible scenarios of you taking charge of that traumatic event, and at times closing your eyes and allowing your imagination to flow. At some point in the process, it is quite normal for previously expressed emotions like anger to arise within you, which can be hard to work with at first because of disempowering conditioning, for example. Your old conditioning may think you are not allowed to be angry, that you don't have the right to be angry. In fact, when being violated, anger is a normal and appropriate response, but you may have had to repress that anger for fear of retaliation from those who dominated you. So the anger first can come with fear, shame, guilt, and other painful emotions that are actually misplaced. Misplaced because you are made to feel responsible for your abuser's feelings, or made to keep his or her abuse secret for fear of hurting your family, for example. You can work through this fear and disappointment by getting used to saying what you want to say to your abuser in your journal and in all sorts of different ways until, within your imagination, you feel empowered enough to say these things directly to your abuser. On the other hand, in your imagination, you may suddenly find yourself understandably taking that anger out onto the abuser. During the process of protecting your frightened child human self, which can help you break into feeling and using your power. You may do this with angry words or even physical violence in a number of different ways while getting used to having this power in that moment. Don't judge yourself for this. Own your power as the parent who will do what it takes to protect their child. Violence is violence, however, so it is important to not be caught up in being a victim who justifies violence. This will keep you stuck and actually disempowered and tied to self-destructive thoughts and actions. Therefore, it is essential to progress within your imagination to creating a scenario where you powerfully and appropriately hold the abuser accountable in some way, such as exposing their behavior and having them arrested by the police. Also, be aware that you may find yourself being impatient and snappy to those around you while you are working through your anger. It helps to communicate what you are working through with those who are near to you so they will understand. Do your best to be aware and understand that power is a challenging thing to master. Remember, you have the right to be human, to learn and grow, and even if it means stepping on the occasional toe while finding your balance. As the process evolves, your ability to observe and creatively act within your memories deepens. While working more deeply and skillfully with these memories that are now within the more comfortable control of your own awareness and imagination, you can simply silence the abusers by putting up a force field, telling them to sit down and shut up while you assertively speak your truth to them, or simply make them disappear, or all of the above. Remember, as conscious awareness, you have total power over your memories, even if your conditioned mind takes some time to get used to that. Then, together with your inner child, vulnerable human self, you can get on with comforting yourself and exploring whatever you need to do to care for yourself in that memory. Again, you are free to explore this in as many ways as you like. If you were abused over a long period of time, such as throughout your childhood, your own humanness may find it hard to trust the love that you are giving to yourself. You may feel like your love is fake at first because you are not used to giving it to yourself and receiving it from yourself. This tentativeness can even be reflected in the spontaneous imagery that may appear in your imagination while engaged in this process. As you patiently persist, however, you will experience becoming more confident as your own loving and strong guardian to your humanness. And your humanness will come to accept and seek your embrace. Remember, you as awareness are unlimited. Persistence is your power. Then, together with your vulnerable humanness in a child, you can get on with exploring and building a new world for yourself that is safe, supportive, and full of love, nurturing, and joy. Therefore, the focus on the abuser or whatever traumatized you is mainly to empower you and to neutralize their ability to distract you from taking total care of your vulnerable human self within your memories and imagination. This new world within your imagination that you are creating for your vulnerable human self can then become a sacred place that you can continue to evolve and reinforce when you take your wounded past self there while working with any memory. Using your journal is very important here to enable you to record and build on what you are creating. In the process, you are creating a whole new memory system that is now all about your loving relationship with your vulnerable human self. All the while, you are paying attention to and processing your emotions and also letting your higher intuitive feeling nature guide you. In a real way, you are rebirthing your human self into your own conscious awareness, giving your mind a whole new positive reality to experience and live in, which in turn directly influences how you think and feel about yourself and look after yourself in your everyday life ongoing. This also has a positive effect on your body because your body lives within your mind. Now your mind and body are living within you as conscious awareness. You are becoming your own sanctuary. Through engaging in your mind healing processes and then taking these insights into your daily life, you are able to increasingly trust yourself to look after yourself in the face of any circumstance. As conscious awareness, you are becoming your own sanctuary, your own guardian, your own champion. You are learning to take charge of your own mind. In the same way, a wise, loving, and responsible parent protects their children from harm and cares for them every day. The old memories are still there to observe, but the painful emotional charge is being removed. The old memories become important experiences that now educate and empower you. In addition, a whole new experience of you being your own champion and loving guardian will be created. A whole new set of positive, life-enhancing frequencies will be resonating in your mind, which will also be embracing your body. This deeper process also opens us up to higher levels of consciousness, where we feel supported and guided by higher wisdom and love that goes beyond our individual conscious awareness. Working with and rewriting your memories with contemplative meditations and journaling, with your heart so open to yourself, can also spontaneously take you into higher states of consciousness that enhance and help guide the process. This is what was happening for the PTSD sufferer I was working with after she did the initial stages of healing work. This is often the case when your process is facilitated by an experienced practitioner or mentor, but also if you persist with your journaling and your contemplative meditations. You can experience these new memories that you are creating coming alive as they start writing themselves, as if from some higher guiding hand that is ultimately in tune with you. It can be like you have gained access to a whole new dimension of consciousness. The participants in the new memory can start acting independently without you having to actively create them. All the while, your consciousness can be a part of all those characters, experiencing the unfolding process from all perspectives. For example, your inner child can take on a life of its own, independently responding to the ways you are caring for your child, and suddenly you are your inner child, experiencing that love and care from you as your loving guardian, who suddenly seems independent from you as the child. Your abuser can also start acting differently according to the new power dynamic, backing away from you, knowing that you are your child's all-powerful guardian, looking guilty and apologetic, or frightened and defeated. You can even experience the child within them, while always protecting and caring for your child human self, you may also be able to consider and observe the damaged and vulnerable human inside the abuser, who they have been conditioned to hate, reject, and project onto others, which deepens your understanding of human nature and suffering. You may feel and experience the all-encompassing love and presence of spirit guides, or the powerfully loving embrace of your own higher self, who is your own ultimate potential that you are awakening within you. The new world that you are creating with your inner child, your human self, can take on a life of its own as well. It is as though all these possibilities are already within the fabric of life. You are simply activating them within your conscious imagination. By engaging sufficiently with this healing process with your heart open, you get the deep feeling that life is your active companion in your healing journey, awaiting for this opportunity to work with you within the unlimited universal power that is your own open and aware consciousness. These spontaneous experiences are similar to appropriately guided psychedelic therapy and also genuine near-death experiences, or NDEs, as they have come to be known. Such experiences are more common than most people realize. There is some evidence that the pineal gland, perhaps the most important gland in our endocrine system, can produce its own DMT, a powerful psychedelic consciousness-expanding compound that is also commonly found in nature, which sweeps the ego's limitations aside and releases the mind into these higher states of consciousness, similar to psychedelic experiences and NDEs. The pineal gland is activated in this way by the power of your own open-hearted conscious awareness that is aligned to acceptance, love, oneness, which gives us a glimpse into the power conscious awareness has to heal and evolve the mind, and of the potential of conscious awareness itself. Dreams can also be a part of this healing experience. Often due to past traumas, you may experience frequent nightmares. As your healing process unfolds, particularly when you are committed to it long term, your dreams can offer you guidance as to the state of your consciousness and track your growing empowerment. You will observe yourself becoming more empowered in these dreams, not so chased and beaten down, but standing up and taking control. Your dreams can also provide you with direct learning experiences. Exploring your dreams in your journal can be an important part of your process. So from the basis of my own healing experiences and working with others for so many years, allow me to paint a more vivid picture of what this memory rewriting process is like from within the depths of your mind. This will be from the perspective of your own inner child human self, as he/she is experiencing this new reality that you are creating for it. During this memory rewriting healing process, your inner child, your human self, may experience something like this. Suddenly, from out of nowhere, a powerful yet gentle, kind and caring person appears before you in the midst of a traumatic moment. Even though you are frightened and vulnerable, you vaguely realize that this person is you, but you as a mature and empowered adult from your future. You watch in amazement as this future self takes control of the circumstances of the traumatic situation around you and makes sure you are safe. Once things are in order, this wise adult you then greets you gently and kindly and sits down with you. You are still scared, but somewhat awed by the presence of this powerful version of yourself. This consciously aware you informs you that he/she is here just for you and will be there for you always. Your empowered aware self tells you that he/she is your loving guardian who accepts you as you are, feels what you feel, will listen to you without judgment, and cares about how you feel. It feels so comforting to be in the presence of this empowered, loving self, but you are still unsure. Trusting someone is still scary, but the warmth of the love that is coming from your empowered self feels so good. Your new guardian lovingly talks to you and comforts you with gentleness and patience, and you feel how your guardian truly understands you. Furthermore, your new loving guardian keeps arriving at your times of need, and you find yourself opening up to this gentle and caring older self, and in time, your sadness is flowing out in waves of emotion, feeling safe enough now to let go into this love. Your loving guardian stays with you and holds you gently, and you see tears of empathy in his or her eyes, and you feel a warm, deep connection with your loving guardian. At last, you feel like you belong as you nestle into the arms of your loving guardian. In time, with the help and the magical powers of your guardian, you find yourself creating a new wonderful home, where you are safe, loved unconditionally, and are free to explore being yourself. This safe and loving home for your vulnerable inner child is your own heart of conscious awareness. This is what this healing process is creating for your human self, your vulnerable inner child. Whenever you consciously stay with and be open to your frightened, sad, and vulnerable emotions with the desire to accept them and care for them with loving kindness. At first, working with your own process, your connection with yourself is not likely to be so profound. When I am guiding a client or self-awareness student in this process, I am able to hold them more steady and guide the process with my greater experience, which can help the process go much deeper. However, you are with yourself 24/7, where your process lacks the power of being guided by an experienced professional therapist. It more than makes up for this with consistent processing using journaling and contemplative meditations, reinforced by reading and listening to self-awareness material, such as my 5-step process through my podcasts and my book, and reaching out to experienced people who you may also find in local self-awareness groups. By staying present with and accepting and working with your emotions as best you can each day, your trauma is still going to be healed, and your old vulnerable conditioning transformed into clarity and resilience. Your trapped emotional energy is going to have the opportunity to flow into a very different space within your consciousness, where healing is going to be a natural process. Also, through the doorway of staying present with powerful emotions, with your heart open, you can unexpectedly find yourself in the embrace of a higher consciousness that is guiding you through a new world in your imagination. As you continue working with your healing and awakening process, you will discover that you are never alone. Ultimately, life itself is your sacred companion, your real guiding master. As I pointed out, even though the original memories of being abused, for example, are still there, by working with this healing process, they are becoming stripped of their power over you. Furthermore, you are literally creating a whole new set of memory structures and conditioning, which is loving and empowering, that you will continue to build on and reinforce by your ongoing healing and empowering self-awareness process. You are not doing this to escape from reality by living in some fantasy world. Far from it. This process flows from facing and in turn mastering your original memories. This new inner world that you are creating with the power of your own awareness and love in turn influences and informs how you care for yourself in the present moment of everyday life. The old painful emotional triggers are being neutralized. In time, what could have been a painful and confusing reaction becomes a compassionate sense of presence and connection with your vulnerable human self, who you now know intimately and who is also coming to know and trust you. You increasingly experience your new clarity, taking conscious control of once difficult and painful moments. That is the power of steps 1 and 2, self-acceptance and personal responsibility, put into action through your own step 3 self-care process, step 3 being let go and tune in. You have an opportunity to be that special caring person that your inner child, vulnerable human self has always longed for. You can say the things to yourself and do the things for yourself that your child self or wounded human self longs to experience from that loving guardian, which is you, on a daily basis, as a part of your new reality. You can allow your human self to perhaps have a good cry at times to release those pent-up emotions within your own imagination and through your own feelings, as you hold your heart open to yourself, providing acceptance and safety. You can offer yourself the safety, warmth, and intimacy that you missed out on in your earlier life. You can hold your human self by the hand throughout the day. Not only that, your relationship with others improve because you are more able to know where and how to set more effective boundaries, and also know when and how to connect to the right people more deeply. As always, there is no perfection in this process. The power is in the commitment and the persistence. Any attempt at self-care is making a difference, even if you don't feel it at first. At first, your emotions tend to be controlled by the old conditioning until cracks in that conditioning start to appear through your persistent efforts. Sometimes the processing and connecting with your inner child human self will be profound. Sometimes you will be beaten back by the fear and trauma. Sometimes your subtle fight or flight defenses will keep you tuning out and avoiding the process until things get critical and you have to deal directly with the pain again. There is no perfect processing of any memory. However, you can return to that memory or block of memories as many times as you like. Your mind is not going anywhere. Every feeling of vulnerability now becomes an opportunity to turn toward yourself with your heart open. You can keep doing your best to learn from each experience of being confronted by trauma and make those experiences work for you, even if they're experiences of getting overcome by it at first. By tuning into them, opportunities for self-compassion, clarity, healing, and empowerment are yours. It is essential to stress that when processing on your own, it is so important to use your journal more extensively. Let it be part of the meditation process also. At any time while journaling, you can close your eyes and meditate on what you are writing as your memories and imagination become activated. While meditating, in the same way, You can journal at any time. Journaling greatly empowers your focus. It enables you to lead your confused and wounded mind out of your unconscious and into the light of your present-day growing awareness, which is your open heart. Step 3, let go and tune in, is the step where you stop and embrace your human self and give quality time to being with yourself. When it comes to turning your life around, this is the most important step. Here you connect to and listen to yourself by paying attention to your self-talk and emotions and feelings. It is where you learn to proactively love, nurture, and heal yourself. It is where you build and maintain your conscious relationship with yourself, which is your life's foundation. Your relationship with yourself will become your most profound and sacred relationship. Step 3 is about getting into the driver's seat of your mind and making that your normal place to be. Step 4 is live in the now. It is about creating your life from the basis of your new, growing, self-empowering awareness. While in the driver's seat, with step 4, you can effectively steer your life in the right direction. When you run into difficulties, you can pull over, focus on step 3 again, and process what you are experiencing, which then puts you even more securely in the driver's seat to continue your step 4 conscious creating work. Therefore, stepping further into your power and further out into the world will inevitably reveal more fears, insecurities, confusions to process with step 3, which then further empowers step 4. They are complementary steps, like being the mother and father of your mind while building your life. Steps 1 and 2 inform and make possible steps 3 and 4 and enable steps 3 and 4 to keep expanding in depth and power. Step 5 says, live the process as a way of life. This will give you the greatest power to live your life to your highest potential. So that concludes this episode. Please do yourself a favor and listen to and absorb, in particular, episodes 1, 4, and 6 from my 5 Steps to Freedom podcast series, and subscribe to my podcast channel to get easy access to all my podcasts. And don't expect to absorb and understand this podcast to a high degree by listening to it just once. This is designed to transform you. Something like this needs to be studied and practiced and studied again. And understand this podcast is the result of 40 years of experience, not to mention all the experiences of those who I have learnt from. Also, feel free to contact me if you have any questions or any feedback, and I mean that, reach out. I'm here to connect with you and support you, wherever you are. And finally, a very special thanks to Sacred Earth for giving me permission to feature their beautiful music on this podcast. I will be using their music exclusively from now on. You will find their website link within the blurb accompanying this podcast. Be your own forever and loving, compassionate parent, and love will always warm your heart.